Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire, neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. To save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
Welcome, Dave. Good to see you. Yeah, sorry about that. I was getting a bit of feedback there. But, yes, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the voice of the EDL. And tonight, what we are remembering, EDL's remembering World War One. The War to End All Wars, it was called in 1918. And the EDL will always stand by our troops, past and present. 100 years ago, a destructive and brutal conflict occurred in Europe, killing millions. World War One also gave birth to trench warfare, tank warfare, and air warfare. To this day, the causes of World War One are still being debated amongst historians. Give us your opinion. Call in and let us know your opinion on this. As I say, a very important day today to mark 100 years. It's amazing, 100 years gone by from that. The war to end all wars. My goodness me, I've just noticed. It's good to have you, Dave. I've got to give a big thank you to Tommy for doing that little script. So I'm going to bring Tommy in as well there, Dave. And it's good to see you, and I hope you're well, Dave. Be busy as usual, I suppose.
As always, mate, as always. How are you doing tonight? You good, Jeff?
Yeah, not too bad. I had a brilliant day today, Dave. I went out and I was wilting under the sun. And I was really messed up a bit today. But, you know, it's the way it goes, the heat and that. Especially with my health, as you know, it's pretty poorly. So, yeah, but I was glad to get home. You know, I had to go out, I had to do a few things, and I was glad to get back in the end. But no, apart from that, you know, you mustn't grumble. Who wants to listen to you grumbling, do they, Dave?
No. Well, not unless you watch one of my
videos.
We've
got plenty of other things to grumble about, haven't we, mate? There's plenty of things to grumble about. Especially the scourge, Islam and all that. We've got plenty to have a grumble about that, haven't we? But I'm going to bring this young gentleman in who's been very active, Dave. And very much so, and also I've got to thank him for doing the script for the show this evening. Tommy, it's brilliant. Thank you so much. And with that, Tommy, welcome to the show with yourself and, of course, Dave and myself. Also, I've got to give a mention to Sue from New Mexico, who once again is there in the studio listening on a device. Sue, it's good to see you here. Good to see you, and all the great works that you do. So with that, Tommy, welcome to the show, buddy. Seems like you've been quite busy the last day or so, haven't you?
Oh, we're always busy, aren't we, guys? Countering the scourge.
So, Tommy, it's a great script you did for the show this evening. As I say, we are remembering. I must get some new teeth, Tom. remembering World War One, 100 years today. And as I say, before we discuss that war, which was so brutal, which is millions died in the trenches, and so many times we've seen, you know, historical pictures and the videos and the movies of them going over the top. And you know, it's absolutely horrific, wasn't it, to fight a war in that way, wasn't it, Tommy? I think you would agree with me.
Yeah, you have the trenches and you have the gas attacks, the artillery attacks, the air attacks.
It was absolutely horrific. Pretty scary. I mean, even a hardened man would be pretty... I think anybody would be quite scared in that situation, wouldn't they, Tommy? It doesn't matter how brave you are, but... You know that you can be killed at any second or anything like that. I mean, and these guys were so brave, though. They're just, you know, the commanding officers, come on, lads, time to go. With whistle went and over the top. And a lot of them just got over the top, and that was it. They met their end, didn't they, Tom? Very brutal, very tragic. You know, it was a war that I don't think we could ever forget. That warfare, as I say, but as you say, it's where tank warfare was used, as you said, and other things was used in that war, which created, you
the
know,
interesting thing is, Jeff, and ladies and gentlemen, is that the British were the first to invent the tank, and we were the first nation to fire a tank at another tank ever.
That's amazing, isn't it? Now that's good information there, Tommy, because, you know, maybe there's a lot of our listeners out there that didn't realise that. So that's why I think it's so good, because it's just how you've done. You're a bit of a historian where the World War One and World War Two and warfare and all that, haven't you, Tommy? So it's always good, ladies and gentlemen, to have someone like Tommy who does know his stuff on these issues that we discuss. But before we do that, Tommy and Dave, so we've got a busy night tonight, and I'm looking forward to the things we're going to be discussing. But let me hear what you was up to yesterday, Dave. You've got to hear what this young man was up to yesterday. As you know, that he was going on one of these flash demos as such. So maybe you'd like to explain a little bit to the listeners, because they probably wondered how things went themselves, because we don't really mention it until after the event, do we, Tommy?
That's it, yeah.
So how was your day yesterday, Tom?
It was very productive indeed, guys. We had the counter demonstration in Middlesbrough again against all those who want to support Hamas and support Hezbollah and all that. Basically, the scum of society. That's what they are, guys. It's absolutely scum of society, these people. Once again, they had their protests from 5 till 10 o'clock, and we thought, we'll get them just halfway, because they'll get a bit confident, thinking, oh, the idiot are coming this time. We started off and they started off last week. We'll get them a bit arrogant, because the idea was that they would meet up in large numbers to start off with to try and give us a bit of a scare. Then what we did is there was a road directly in front of them, and going on to that rosy old march route for the Middlesbrough demo. Now, that's where we marched down. We marched straight into them. Now, I was right at the front of the march. I was thinking, God, I don't know how I'm at the front of this.
You always bloody are. You always this day.
And the interesting thing is, there's only two police there, two police officers on bicycles that were just there to supervise them. And
the mobilised police.
Oh, yeah.
Bicycles, mate,
was it a fandom, Tom? Well, that's just it, Jeff. If it was an EDL flash protest, there'd be three police vans, a riot squad, and two police helicopters circling. But these guys get two police officers, and what we did is people were saying to me, okay, so we'll hang back here. So I'm saying, no, let's just keep walking. And we got to, it was literally nose to nose with them. Oh, the fear on their faces, guys, was brilliant. They would say, what are you doing here? Why are you counter-protesting us? So they were, you do the same to us, so we're going to do the same to you. Not nice, is it?
Yeah. And you've got your flag out there, the Israeli flag, and flown that. That really pissed them off. Oh, you did, didn't you?
Oh, we did, yeah. We had more than we had St. George's Crosses.
Good
I'll tell you something, guys, which is... horrible, horrible lefty with long, greasy blonde hair. She was really short. She probably came up to about my waist. And she's going, you shouldn't be here. I'm English. You can't do this. And I said, well, if you're English, what are you doing standing with these lot then? I support Palestine. What's a Palestine? It's the state that's been fired on by Israel. And I said, well, don't you think it's weird how they started it? They didn't start it. Israel occupied their lands. Oh, God. And she started shouting all this stuff at me. I said, hey, did you go... She goes, yeah. Did you go to college? So I said, yeah. Did you go to university? No. So basically, you have no qualification in history. No, I studied algebra when I was at college. All right, well, after a history, guess what?
Because you definitely use algebra every day, didn't you, Tommy? You definitely use algebra every day, didn't you?
Unbelievable. She goes to me, Muhammad founded Palestine for the Muslims. I said, you what? I went, I'll tell you something, mate. I went, I'll
she
tell you something,
mate. She believes
that
these Muslims sell her. Typical lefty, eh, Dave?
I said to her, are you on crack? And she goes, what are you talking about? No. I said, the Romans founded Palestine as a land for the Jews, but the Jews wanted to call it Israel.
That's correct.
And she goes, oh, fuck off, you racist. And I went, is that what you're going to come back at me with? With that?
to be honest with you, you can't debate a leftist, can you, Tommy? And Dave, Dave, I don't know about you. You can't debate because they always come out with, you're a racist, you're fascist, blah, blah. And they've got no foundation. And the things they come out with is total bollocks anyway. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't even know why they're there half the time. They're just told, I'll be there. You know,
they're funded by the Labour Party. If they want to come out and do something, normally the left, they come out and do something because it's free. They wouldn't spend their own money because they ain't fucking got no yet.
Nah.
they're actually signing on. And I mean, let's look at the whole picture. It's absolutely ridiculous. These people come out for a free day out. Let's put it this way.
Yeah.
It's more acceptable socially to be on the left than it is the right. You know that. We've said it before. Yeah. But it just amazes me, really, that the whole country at the moment, you know, I said the whole country, sorry about that. I'll retract that last statement. The whole of the Muslim community would like to come out and actually support a known terrorist organisation that have been deemed so by America and England and probably Canada and Australia as well, being deemed as a terrorist organisation. Now, I will ask you one question then, you two, right? Where are your moderates now?
They're with them.
Well, here you go.
They're with them. They're with them.
Yes. Yeah, where are they, Dave? That's why we all say that. Where are these so-called moderates? It's typical, though, isn't it? Or you get them, we're Palestine. Palestine don't even fucking exist. They just don't understand the history behind it. And as you said, Dave, they're supporting a known terrorist organisation that its first part of the charter was to actually say about killing all the Jews, men, women and children, totally eradicating the people of Israel. No wonder Israel's fighting so bloody hard. It's about their existence, isn't it, Dave? We keep having missiles fired at you. In the end, you're going to say, you know what? Bugger what the bloody world says. Bugger what Obama says and the Kerrys and this, that and the other and the banky wankies and all that. You know, when they're trying to kill our people.
The banky wankies.
Well, he is
like
a
that.
Total little wanker, isn't he?
That's not winky wanky.
Idiot.
Listen, we've got to look at it a little bit, I think. I know we're supposed to be talking about World War One, but it does sort of span off and cover other subjects. If we were being bombed by France, and all of a sudden a school got bombed, you know, England, you go, oh my God, England have fired one bomb. You know, listen, I'm not sort of pro-Israel. I'm not pro anybody apart from England. That's how I stand. Right? And I've got to look at what goes on. They have the right to defend themselves. Now, Hamas at the moment have actually been bombing their own stuff. They're running out of fake blood at the moment. They're running out of fake blood. They're firing rockets that are falling short. Now, me and my good lady were watching the TV the other night of all these bombs going off and this and the other. Now, I will say this to you. In Gaza and Palestine, all the mosques are still standing. Now, why is that then? Please.
Well, not all of them, Dave. I think one or two's been taken down.
Well, let's look at what goes on.
Oh, they're all over the place, Dave.
Well, mosque means fortress in our language. I don't know what it means in other people's languages, in the Jewish language or whatever. But you know, you've got to understand these mosques are still standing. So that tells me it's their own people attacking their own stuff. Now, I'm not pro anybody. Me, everybody comes out and you know, I've had actually people tell me tonight, the Jews run the whole world, right? They run the whole world. And you've got to watch the Jews, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. I won't say who it was. If they're listening, I took on board what you said. But at the end of the day, if the Jews run the world, and they run the media, they run the banking system, they run everything, like apparently this man said, why are we demonising the Jews? Over firing a few rockets when they've been bombarded for years. I'll call bullshit.
Yeah. I hope you don't mind. Tommy, are you getting feedback? I don't know if it's me or not, Mike.
You got
yes, it's all right on mine.
It's all right. I can hear
I was wondering, Dave and Tommy, I'm going to call back in because it's probably my phone and I'm really getting bad feedback. Okay, guys. So, Dave, carry on with what you were saying. It's very, very interesting. You and Tommy, and I'll be back in a minute, okay?
Well, mate, no worries. No, Tommy, I don't know about
cheers
you, mate.
Cheers, guys. I'll be back in a second.
I tend to watch a lot of stuff on the internet. You know, whatever it is, from a blog site or from anyone. We've got to say that you've got to pick the buns from everything to get the truth for yourself. If you're not that aware, well, what the main thing is, you just put a fucking sheep on. So what we've got to look at is really is that Hamas are hiding there. I'm getting feedback again. What's all
still
that?
Doing it, Dave.
It was doing it. And it's just, oh, just gone now, I think.
I can't move me far.
Hamas are stockpiling weapons. They built tunnels. You know, listen, let's look at the Quran for a second. The Quran says kill all the Jews. Anyone after that, they're going to kill as well. Once Israel falls, we're dead. You know that, don't you? You know, this is something that's going to go further and further and further. They're not happy with just killing one race. They want to kill everybody that doesn't believe in the Quran. It's as simple as that. And the Jews, being next door to them, are the first on the list, is what I say. You know.
Oh, I'm back.
Jeff?
Sorry, just wanted to let you know that I'm back.
No worries,
bro.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, as we all know, Islam's top goal is to destroy the Jews first. Then after that, they're going to move on to the Christians and the Kuffar. The whole thing the Quran's based upon is killing the Jews first. Then after that, everybody else.
That's it. So what happens if Israel goes in? Listen, you look at the route through Turkey and, you know, look what goes on. These people are demonised for what exactly? You know, that we're meant to believe that they are, you know, the banking central of the world. The Jews are flooding us with Muslims. What rubbish is that, you know? At the end of the day, what you've got to look at, I suppose, is that anyone being fired upon, you're going to defend yourselves. You know, it is as simple as that. Our media, bearing in mind they're run by, apparently, the Jewish, would they be demonising themselves? I don't think so, do you?
No. It's not a thing about Zionism. Zionist-occupied government is what the genuine far-right call it, isn't it, Dave?
Our media over here, they want to go, look, they won't report on the fact that ISIS are killing everybody. They won't report on the fact that Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban are killing everybody in the Middle East at the moment. But as soon as Israel fires a rocket, all fucking hell breaks loose. Now, this worries me a little bit. You know, this is our media for you. Now, like I say to you, I'm not pro-Israel. I will stand by anybody that wants to fight for their own rights. Now, they're fighting for their own right. Their own little... You know, did you see years ago the strip of land that Israel had was massive? A big, long strip. It's not the size of a fucking 10-pence piece now. You know, how much more have they got to give up before they're killed? You know, there was a post on Facebook that meant everything to me the other day, and it said, if the Arabs laid down their weapons, there would be no war. If the Israelis laid down their weapons, there would be no fucking Israel. Right?
That's right. That is so right, Dave. I was going to say, Dave, I've got a little bit of information in the chat room. You've got a bit of echo feedback yourself, so I was wondering, mate, could you give a call back in?
Yeah, no worries, I'll do that right now. All right, 2 seconds.
Cheers, buddy. Okay. Tom.
Yeah, I'm still here, mate.
Is there an echo now?
No. I was
getting a little bit of information coming through from the chat room from a couple of people that there was a bit of echo, a bit of feedback there, and a bit of jitter. So hopefully they've sorted out. Now and again I'm getting it, so I might have not a very good line tonight, and I do apologise, guys, if that is the case. And we've got Dave back. Let's bring him back in. There you go,
you,
Dave.
Jeff, have you got headphones on, or are you just listening and talking? Because I think the feedback...
No,
might be,
I'm talking on the phone, mate. I'm talking on the phone.
Okay.
I'm not talking through... So I'm just doing it through me landline, me old mate.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no, what you said before, Dave, before you took a break there, how true. I mean, this is it. They're all, it seems... They did say, if you look in the Bible, Dave, it does say, you know, I'm not a Bible thumper or nothing like that. It does say that the world turns against Israel. And in the last days, the world turns against Israel. You know, well, and it seems like that is the case. Right now what is happening is what's in the Bible. It's really like end times.
Well, you know what? I got told earlier, obviously, that the Israelis, you know, the Jewish people have run this world for 2,000 years. And I went, fucking hang on a minute. You know, look, 2,000 years ago, there was no such thing as banks or money or fuck all. So what are you trying to blame these people for doing what exactly? You know, I won't have any of that at the end of the day. If someone's being fired upon indiscriminately every day, because they could defend themselves, because they've actually spent money on defending themselves rather than building tunnels and arming themselves, right? Then surely, you know, they have a right to defend themselves. It's just,
the Iron Dome, if it wasn't for the Iron Dome, Dave. Yeah, sorry, Dave. I was getting a little bit of feedback as well. So, my apologies, mate. I don't want to talk over you.
No, you're right.
Go ahead. What you're saying, Dave, is interesting. Go ahead, mate.
Well, you know, you've got the Gazans and the Palestinians spending money that they don't need to spend on tunnels, on weapons, on actually just literally the destruction of a certain race of people. The Israelis, the Jewish people, at the moment, are actually spending money on defending themselves. You know, so Gaza and Palestine could be doing the same bastard things, what they could be doing, but they don't want to do it. They don't want to build schools and do this. They just want to arm themselves to kill the Jews. And that's what it says in the Quran, kill all the Jews. We're all next.
Yeah.
All next. Right?
You're so right there, Dave. There's always been... I don't know, but this is what we've had conversation about this before. The hatred for the Jewish people is just it goes beyond me. And I'm really getting bad feedback. I was going to say, guys, I'm going to have to call back. So Tommy and Dave and all our listeners out there, my apologies. Tonight I'm going to throw this phone through the window in a minute. But
Jeff, have you got a headset you can use rather than just use the phone? Because I think what's happening is the loudspeaker's coming through the microphone on your phone. Can you plug a set of headphones into your phone?
Yeah, no, I can't plug them into my phone, mate. It's just, you know, it's just a basic phone. Otherwise I'd have done that day. But
it's us that are echoing once we start talking. So, well, it's gone now, look. It's gone again.
Oh, look at that.
Here we go.
That is weird, isn't it?
Thank you, Blog Talk.
Yeah. but as I say, it's such an interesting conversation because, as I say, it does seem like that little Israel is taking on the whole world. You know, it's taking on this evil Islamist who want nothing more but their death and destruction. Anybody who signed up for Hamas knows what that charter is. You know, every one of those Palestinians out there knows exactly what Hamas is all about, and they agree with it. That's why they are in the position where they are.
So
you know, this is a people that wants a total destruction of Israel and the Israeli people.
We have got, you know, last weekend, hundreds of thousands, whether it be, you know, just over 110,000, 150,000 people in our streets, Muslims, right? The week before, tens of thousands in our streets. Now, we've got to look at is a little bit, really, is how they mobilise that amount of numbers, for starters. That's point one. Point two is that they've never, ever really criticised ISIS, the Taliban, Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda, or anyone, really, for killing people of their own religion. You know, this is what goes on. No one can answer anything. Now, to be that way inclined, and to be that we do believe, and I do believe still, Jeff, if I'm Christian, but I don't go to church, but I believe myself as being Christian, my whole country, our whole country, was born on Christian values. I class myself as Christian.
Yes.
I don't pray. I don't go to church. Maybe there are Muslims like that, that class themselves as Muslims, but do not go to mosques and the fortresses of our land at the moment. Now, isn't it funny? I've had someone infiltrate that. I told you this last week. I'll tell you again for the people that didn't know. I've had a friend infiltrate, and he was talking to the hate preachers. Now, there was nothing that came out on Facebook or Twitter or any of the social networking sites about the mass demonstrations over the last 2 weeks. So where were they held? Where were these people mobilised from? They were mobilised from their fortresses. Now look up mosque in a dictionary, and it will tell you, in our language, it means a fortress. Now, if we're going to be led to believe that that's the way things go, then we need to believe as well that these people are armed. They will be armed. A Czechoslovakian rifle was found, a self-loading automatic rifle, in a TV box behind the man's unit, right? Now, at the end of the day, what I will say is this. Our police will not search a mosque on racist grounds. Not religious grounds, racist grounds, right? We're dealing with a much, much bigger problem than anybody could ever fathom right now. We've got people leaving our country, fighting about because they're British born. My brothers and sisters, well, hang on a fucking moment. You wasn't over there. You live here. You should honour the British values, the British heritage, the British culture. You don't honour any of that. And any Muslim you talk to will tell you, I don't like England. Well, what the fuck are you doing here then? At the moment, I would literally, and as militant as it sounds, and it's not militant really, it's what's good for the culture, the heritage, and the people of this country that are indigenous. I would say to you, get rid of the mosques, get rid of the book. You know, there's no room for that in a Christian country. Now, what we're doing at the moment is we've got the. I was going to touch on this later, but it's coming out now. Sorry about that, Jeff. You know, Preston, they raised the Palestinian flag. You know. It was down in a day because people went, well, you can't do that. Well, good. I'm hoping some people out there have got some brains to go and to say enough to go, you know what, you can't do that. This is England. But they won't do that. What they say is, oh, that could provoke some sort of violence or some sort of hate crime against you. You know, I mean, what is that about? Listen, I'll be funny a bit, Jeff. If I can just say this, and I don't mean to sound any way. I'm not pro anybody except pro England. And pro-EDL, and pro-getting the fucking government, that's what I'm pro. Whatever they want to do over there, they can do, right? I don't care what they do. As soon as it comes to our shores, that's when I get involved, right? That's when I start going, hang on a fucking moment.
And the thing is, it is on our shores, Dave. It has been for a long time. We've had our politicians facilitating our enemy, and basically leading this down to oblivion. They've disarmed us. They've taken our guns away. They've left us armless. No. I mean, in the end, if there comes that day, then we're going to have to stand up. And that day will come. It will come. And I'm talking about hypothetically. I'm not warmongering anything. The time will come where people will rise up. And there will be arms. If they want arms, you guarantee. Under the Magna Carta, if you got a foreign entity in your country, you are allowed, as a citizen of this country, under the Magna Carta, allowed to take up arms and protect your family and your nation against foreign entities.
Did you know there's not a law in the land that says you can't be armed? It's acts and statutes, my friend. There's not a law. Nothing's been repealed.
Yep.
You can't repeal the Magna Carta. We are still able to arm ourselves. It's only the sheeple out there at the moment that believe that we can't be armed. Right now, a friend of mine was going to walk down the street in Essex with a rifle strapped over his shoulder and actually test that one out. And he ain't done it yet. No.
I would say to him, don't do it because he'll end up getting shot, mate. You know the old Bill will like the trigger happy.
Listen, he'll lay it down, he'll put his hand up and do the thing, and then give his argument across. It's what he said to me, right? There's no law in the land. There's acts and statutes that say you're not allowed to be armed. The Magna Carta says, arm yourselves. Look what happened. We're supposed to be talking about the First World War, right? 9 million people lost their lives. You know, millions of people injured.
Yeah.
And what actually turned... That war, in actual fact, turned us into being, even before the Second World War. The Second World War finished it off. You know, since 1950s and 1960s, 1970s, we've allowed a lot of people in here, and a lot of people have assimilated, they've integrated, and they've actually got on with the way of life that should be, you know, English. Now, what we've got at the moment is, you know... The Buddhists, the Jews, all these other people there want to assimilate and integrate and actually get on with it, even though they eat kosher meat,
which is the same sort of way slaughtered as bullshit on everybody. They can buy their meat from a Jewish butcher, they can do this and do that. There's only one people here at the moment that want to force all this shit down our throat, and they are the fucking Muslims. And I'm getting the arsehole of it, at the fact that they want to do all this to us, and we can't say anything back. If we say anything back, we're racist against a multicultural, multiracial ideology that is not even a religion, really. It's in the guise of a religion. Sorry, I'm going into one. Sorry, I'm going to shut up.
No, Dave, you're doing fine. As you say, it is a guise of being a religion, as we all know. It's an ideology, and it's got nothing to do with religion. It's just the way that they like to use it, because they know that if they use this so-called cult Islam with religious status, it means they become protected by the societies that they live in, Dave. And this is what we're seeing across this country. This is what you're seeing across Europe. They become the protected species, to be protected at all costs.
Very good.
So in the end, we become the second-class citizens in our own country, the indigenous. And it's horrible to say we, the indigenous people of our own country. It's like we are like the last remnants of you know, the great people of what we was, you know, and that's the way.
17,000 years, 25 years, we've inhabited this island. We've assimilated, we've got on, and it was lovely. Now, when I'm talking about colour here, there's no colour involved. There's no race or anything involved. What we've got to look at is the fact we can't look after our own people in this country at the moment through the government's doing. What we should be doing at the moment, really, is removing these people from government and putting their own people in there. Now, I've got a little plan, which I will let out a little bit later on, to keep you all listening. there's a little plan about... already, you know, if they're watching and they're listening, good. Listen and watch very closely, because your time is coming very soon. We will not be led by corporates. We'll not be led by corporations. We'll not be led by the fact that you want to line your pockets and make sure you're set up for life, which is what these politicians do. They're supposed to administrate for us, not dictate and rule over us. And there's so much stuff coming in at the moment where they're ruling, dictating. The EU are doing the same thing, ruling and dictating. I'm not having it.
No, there's a time which we said quite a while ago, enough is enough. With the political correctness, with the things that the laws that they're bringing in to try to shut us up, to try to stop us speaking against Islam, we will fight it. We will rebel against anything like that. It's wrong. We know it's wrong. Otherwise, we would be here, Dave. If it wasn't so important, what we do with the English Defence League and being a part of this English Defence League, this organisation, if it wasn't for us doing what we're doing, they would be having a field day. But we've opened up a can of worms. We're a symptom of what they've created. The English Defence League.
We are the victim.
We're a symptom of what they've created. And we had to come about. It was our time. This was our time that we said enough's enough. And it always takes a moment in history when people say, you know what, this isn't good enough. This isn't what I want for my children. This isn't what I want for my grandchildren. And this isn't what I want for the future of this country.
Well said.
You've got to make a stand.
Well, you know what?
Thank you, Dave.
Well said, Jeff. Listen, what we've got to understand is the government are supposed to administrate for us and look after us. That's what they're there for. Let's put it into brass tacks, right? They're supposed to administrate for us and look after us. We're supporting the EU with £55 million a day. We're doing all sorts of stuff. Now, I will tell you this, right? Tell me at half past 9, Dave, what did you have to tell me? And I'm going to put it out there. And I hope that people listen, and I hope people do it on the day, right? Half past 9, brother. Right, let's keep the people listening, and I'll tell you exactly...
Okay, Tommy, remind me, because, you know, I tend to forget things.
I'll remind you myself. Don't worry. I'll remind you myself. Half past 9...
Cheers, buddy.
..is phase one of the ongoing... I don't know what to say.
Open rebellion, let's call it open rebellion, Dave.
Well, yes and no. Phase of operations. the first part
of
the phase of our operations, right? Let's not go mosque busting, right? Right? Let's not do that. Let's send a clear and present message to the government. Before September, we, the public, are not happy. Right? Not happy. Sorry.
No, that's good. That's good, Dave. No, we will remind you. But I was going to say, Tommy, Dave, I was going to say, Tommy, I do know that before we go on talking, I mean, this is the issue that we're discussing is so, so important, and I'm glad we'll keep it going, Dave. But what we want to do really is discuss a little bit about the world, you know, World War One. And that 100 years for today. And I really want to pass this over to Tommy because, as you know, he put a bit of time and effort in doing the script for the show tonight, Dave. So without further ado, I'm going to pass it over to Tommy. Tommy, would you like to do, a little thing what you're going to speak about the World War One and the different things there? So over to you. Is he there?
I don't know, where is he?
Tommy, are you there?
He's still there in the studio. I don't know where he's gone.
Oh, my goodness me. He's bloody muted.
There we go.
Tommy.
He's up the sunny. He's up the sunny.
Did
I mute you?
Did I?
He's up the
sunny.
He's
got to dial back in.
Oh, you dialed back in? Sorry, mate, I missed that.
Yeah, Tommy, as you heard what I said, like we have been talking about some very, very important thing, but you know, today is something that we're looking back, aren't we, 100 years of the big war, the First World War.
Tommy,
so I was wondering if you would
the echo is you, mate. Tommy, the echo is you,
mate. Okay, then what I'm going to do, Dave.
No, Jeff, it's not you, it's Tommy. We've been fine here. Tommy, I think he's speaking with a mic and speakers maybe, and the speakers are coming back for the mic. It's your fault, Tommy.
You can't blame me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was going to say, anyway, it seems okay at this moment in time. So, Tommy, I was going to say, would you like to speak about the show's all about tonight?
Yeah, so the reason why we're all here tonight, guys, is basically to remember, 100 years since World War One, the War Two, End All Wars, as it was called, just after it finished. And basically, a lot of historians will debate about what started. A lot of people say it's because Serbian separatists assassinated the Archduke of Austria-Hungary. Others will say it's because of German and Austria-Hungary's imperialism. And others will just say because they went to have a big scrap with each other. Now, one of the sad things about World War One, especially from our side, that you had 13-year-old lads signing up to join the army. You had to be 19 years old to join the army 100 years ago. And you had like 13, 14, 15-year-olds saying, oh, I'm 19 years old, I'll go sign up. And 500,000 went over into France within the first 2 months. They said it'd be over by Christmas time. Now, within that first month, just looked like there's no end to it because you had trenches dug right from the English coast straight down to the Swiss border, in Belgium, in Holland, in France. You had a war going in the Pacific, you had a war going in Southern Europe, Western Europe and Northern Europe, and including in Russia as well. Now, Germany had a lot to gain from it because Germany was just in the process of expanding its empire, and basically, what a better empire to have than Europe. Now, World War One's been basically on the minds of everyone even before it. You had Napoleon in France, and you had Franco in Spain. You had the Prussians, even us guys. To be honest, we had an empire back then. Like to extend it into France. So when it did break out, you had Austria-Hungary invade Serbia. Serbia's allied with the Russians, so the Germans invaded Russia. We was allied with the Russians, so Britain and France went to war with Germany and Austria-Hungary. Now, World War One gave birth to a lot of mute warfare that was unheard of. The concept of aerial bombing, and aerial dogfights, no one even heard of it. How it started off was that German planes and British planes and French planes would fly over the trenches, take photographs, and scan those photos, obviously, where they could fire their artillery. And what the British had the idea was, they would put two machine guns in one of these planes to go and shoot those recon planes down. Then the Germans had the idea of just basically putting guns into their planes, going up there to shoot down those planes that were going to shoot down their recon planes. That's how dogfighting started off. Now, aerial bombing came because they found artillery wasn't accurate enough. Even though it was bloody awful how many artillery shells fell down on the trenches, it wasn't accurate enough for the British or the Germans. So one day, a German engineer is called Krupp invented the bomb. He made a very big plane called the Gotha. He stuck this bomb onto it, and they flew over the trenches in the Somme. And that's when the first time a bomb ever fell onto a British trench, was the Battle of the Somme. You also had the Battle of Jutland, which was a big naval conflict between the British and the Germans just off the coast of Denmark. You had gas attacks on British trenches and German trenches. You had gave birth to submarine warfare, and also the idea of Gatling guns, machine guns, big artillery pieces. Now, when you look at the footage of World War One, how did they attack? You had 15-mile gaps between a British trench and a German trench. The only way you could get across it was infantry. Now, what was he going to do? You're going to put a machine gun on the top of that trench to stop him from attacking you. Now, when you do see him going over the top, half of him did get got shot as soon as they popped their heads up.
Yeah, yeah.
That was one of the sad things about those that did make it over the top had more chance of getting killed by the machine gun fire, the artillery, the snipers. It was bloody awful. And you had more chance of dying from diseases, from rats, from the weather. What you got to remember, guys, is that you're in a trench for 24 hours a day. If it's raining, you're getting all mud coming onto you. It's affecting your water supply, affecting your food. A Spanish fever killed more British soldiers.
And you get your trench foot as well, don't you, Tommy?
Trench foot,
yeah. Yeah. Now, that was a sad thing. You had more chance of dying from a disease than you have from the actual enemy themselves, and the Germans went through the same thing as well. And what we found out, well, what the British generals found out, that trench warfare just wasn't working out. What they found, the Battle of the Somme, Verdun, Ypres, just wasn't working. So then a British farmer went up to him and said, hey, why don't we just build a big tin can, that's his quote, and we stick some guns on it, and we could put a tractor track on top of it. And that gave birth to the British Mark I, ergo the tank. Now, towards the end of the war, it was very effective. Ypres, and then the second attack at Verdun was getting all the front lines back, and the Germans' machine gunners, even the best artillery pieces, couldn't take them out. So they invented their tanks, and we was the first country in the world to fire a tank shell at another tank. And it also gave, World War I also gave birth to strategic bombing. Now, we still do that today, guys. Look what happened in Libya last year. What did we do? We attack their factories, you attack their railroads, you attack all things that are strategic to them. The German Gothas used to fly over to Dover, bomb Dover, bomb the port of Dover. Zeppelins as well, guys. London got bombed by Zeppelins 17 times, and there's even a memorial in London from where a 50-pound bomb hit a school and killed 17 children inside. That gave birth to the Blitz in the Second World War. And so every bit of warfare today, tank warfare, mobile warfare, aerial warfare, all came from World War One, because you had all these superpowers fighting each other. And when you got the same amount of men, the same training, and the same sort of weaponry, you had to get one over the other. So the Germans invented anti-aircraft guns. They invented gas attacks.
Yeah, because it becomes too balanced, isn't it, Tommy? You want to have overall control of your military pieces, don't you, sort of thing, and overwhelming strength and that, isn't it? That's how you win wars and battles, isn't it? Overwhelming strength and numbers, isn't it? That's how all wars are won, aren't they?
That's it, yeah. One of the sad things of World War is that the generals has basically assumed that by storming no man's land with a bunch of British soldiers, they can get to a German trench. It just wasn't like that. And so the German generals as well, if all their men over, and obviously they can sell a British trainer. It just wasn't like that. There was no strategy or planning, which is basically just go in there, do your job, just kill the enemy, just do it. When you watch a lot of World War One films now, what has it always start with? Fixed bayonets. That's how you knew he was going to go over the top. That was the first thing they ever mentioned was fixed bayonets, because you knew he was going to go over the top.
Yeah, fixed bayonets.
One of the worst battles we fought in was the Somme, which was a very, very... Oh, it was bloody awful, that one. 10 days of shelling a German line, didn't even touch them. And the British commanders got arrogant, saying, it's okay, just walk over no man's land, there'll be no Germans there. As soon as they got over, they all got gunned down. You had the British and the Australians at Gallipoli. As soon as they landed, they had no chance. No chance of getting rid of those Turkish lines whatsoever. Because they was in the mountains.
It was a massacre, wasn't it? Let's be honest, Tommy. Let's talk as it was. It was a total massacre, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
No strategy. Just go over the top. Go and do your job. Try to kill the enemy. Don't matter if you die yourself. Just try to kill the enemy. I mean, there wasn't very much strategy there. It's all right for them sitting back telling your lads to go forward, go forward. Yeah. But it was a catastrophe.
It is a morale killer. If you can imagine it, guys. The first wave will never make it over. The second wave, we'll see what happened to the first wave, and the third, we'll see what happened to the second and the first wave. Can you imagine the sort of psychological effect that would have on you, especially if you're 18, 19 years old?
Well, of course it would. I mean, come on. I mean, you're a human being, aren't you, Dave and Tommy? You know, and of course, if you see all your brothers there in front of you that's fallen before you, it is going to make you jittery. Your mind's not going to be focused on what you're doing because, you know, you can be looking around and you think, oh, my goodness. And before you're looking around, before you know it, bang, you're gone. You know,
This is where, this is where society has changed since, you know, the Second World War till now. I think you'll find it pretty hard pushed, actually, to find the same group of people that actually, you know, went and fought in the First and Second World Wars in this country right now. You know, we're talking about social breakdown, what we're talking. I believe in national service. You can't sign on when you're 16 anymore. You used to be able to. Now, when you're 16, you can't sign on. You can't sign on to your... the lefties go, oh, sending your kid to war. It's not about war. It's about discipline. It's about respect. And it's about knowing that if you had to, you would. A lot of people don't want to know that. You know, national service for me years ago was something that I was in the nick a little while ago, or a long while ago now, 88 to 91. I've done 3 years. Best thing that ever happened to me. It showed me discipline. It showed me respect. It showed me everything. You know, this is something that every youngster really needs to do because, you know, when you look at back through history at the moment when national service was in effect, we were, you know, sort of not led by it. Well, yeah, a little bit, you know, the people that started running the country and doing this and doing that, they had respect, they had discipline. You know, this was something that is needed. You know, you've got gang culture going on today. It's the parents in the gang culture of today. The parents, when it comes down to, you know, children not learning in school, and you can't smack them anymore, you can't cane them, you can't do this. There's no discipline anywhere at all. And I find it very, very hard to believe, really, that we've come from 1945... 2014, and the change is absolutely immense, right? From the people that wanted to fight for their country.
You know, I've got my good friend here, Dave, British News, good friend of mine, and he's saying national service should be brought back. That's what he's saying as well.
Exactly that.
He's highlighted that as well. And I think there's a lot of us feel that way. It does make better people, you know, it just gives you something. It makes you become more motivated and care more about, you know, your fellow brothers and that around you. And it gives you a purpose, Dave. Thank you. Yes, that's a good point. And as I say, that is the problem. As you say, the social thing breaks down of what we see. They don't really care. And it becomes quite sad to see your society has broken down so much. Over the time since I was a young man growing up, Well, I got the cane quite regular at school, Dave. You know what I mean? The teacher used to walk around with a cane in his hand. You know, this was the discipline that was installed, you know. It never done me no harm.
Well, it didn't do anyone any harm, you know, if we can put it like that. There's someone in the chat room, we're restreaming to Motivate as well, obviously, and they're saying the quality is very poor. Well, fucking, don't listen then. Do you know what I mean? Don't sit in there fucking moaning at me about the sound quality. Turn your fucking volume up, Alex. I've just turned it up again. Don't worry about that. What the fuck? See, someone's always got something to say, ain't they? Do you know what I mean? The fuck goes on here? Listen, you know what? National service to me means backbone. It says...
Yes. Character.
Respect. We've lost all respect down to the Liberal PC Brigade at this moment in time. We've lost all respect, right? School teachers don't want to be school teachers anymore because they can't teach these fucking people because they can't keep them in line. Do you know what I mean? There's
no.
So much shit going on. Down to the fucking Liberals, down to the PC Brigade. You know, this is what goes on. I'm fucking sick of it, Jeff, in all fairness. I'm sorry about dropping
yeah,
the F-bomb
well,
and swearing all that.
I know, it does. It drives you to despair when you look around you to see, you know, the way that things are broken up from, like, when you was a lad to myself, you know, and what we see before. As you say, the PC Brigade. You know, I'm looking at a time where we can rectify some of the issues that we got in our societies, that we can build upon what we've had before us, what used to be, you know, the good moral fibre that makes a great nation as we have been in the past, and who's
well,
to say that
to
we
say.
Can't be again. It's just installing all those values that we held, always held so dear, which have been sadly lacking over the last, say, 20, 30 years, I would say, since the BC Brigade's been around. So I think that's something, and you know, I don't give up. I'm an optimist, Dave. I do believe that some in the future, whatever, however far the future might be, I do believe there'll be a time where people will realise that we're going down the wrong path. This isn't the path, and people like ourselves are trying to leap, shine a light, saying this is the way forward. National service. It don't do anybody any bloody harm. And if they don't want to go, to do national service, then you know what? They should have their dumb money stopped and things like that, Dave. You know what I mean? That's it. And it just pull these people in line and make men of them instead of some of these, the ones that we got, these little left-wing twats that we've got around us at this moment in time. It might give them something, you know, and to be proud of who they are as well. This has been sadly lacking with a lot of the youngsters. They forgot who they are.
This is where nationalism comes into it. You know, I mean, if you're going to divide yourselves, now, we're supposed to believe that multiculturalism the immigrants coming over and doing all the gear, you know, we're supposed to believe that they will assimilate, they will integrate, they will do what they do. There's nothing here to discipline anymore. If we went back to the 1950s and these people come over here, you would integrate into the system. You would have no room for manoeuvres at all. Now, what we're doing at the moment is the left and the PC Brigade and our government at the moment are giving these people room for manoeuvre, and they are using that to their fullest advantage, is what they're doing.
Yes. I agree. And what Eric Carles also said, and it's good to see you here this evening as well, Eric, he said, and you get to see the world too, Jeff. So that's a good point. It broadens your mind, it broadens your horizons, and I don't know, it just makes a better person of you. You know, if you go in there, you do national service, you come out, and I don't know, you've got more character. It just makes a better person of you, you know. That's why I've always looked at it.
It builds character. It builds a person from the ground up. Now, if you've got no discipline at home, because you can't smack your kids, and everyone's too PC and liberal to actually reprimand their children, come and sit on the naughty step, right? And then you've got no discipline in schools. You're trying to make these people into serfs, is what you're trying to do. You're trying to make people conform to the society at home. But but you can't do anything about making them conform. Then this is what you've got now. And this is all down to the left and the PC brigade that will say to you, well, you know what, I'm not being funny, you can't smack your kids, you can't do this, you can't cane the kids somewhere, you can't rip my... If you put your hand on a child in school, you're going to get done for assault. What a load of bollocks. These yeah. kids now know that. Now, I will say this to you, and I've said it on numerous occasions over the 3 years I've been doing my radio show, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to look at what goes on just a little bit. If the child is doing something they don't want to do and they get told off, they've got child line. If the child's doing something you don't yes. have to do, where is parent line, Jeff? Why are we looking after the children all the time? Why yes. don't have discipline?
I think you bring up a very good point there. It's something that is so drastically needed, Dave. I think that is, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you agree with myself, Dave, but what a great thing to have. Parent line. Bad parents.
Listen,
you
never get taught how to be a parent, and they do the best
no,
job you
don't.
Can. There's a lot of people out there doing bad jobs when their kids are out at 9 years old to 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. That is not a parent.
No, that's not good enough. I mean, I never would allow my lads out to any time like that, you know, sort of when they were growing up.
My oldest is 22, and if he goes out, I know where he is. Now, I'm not being funny of you. You see, mate, I don't take a lot of shit. If he gets in a bit of trouble, I need to know where he is. And all my children, you know, from day dot till now, I've known where they are. Not that I let him out a lot, obviously. Do you know what I mean? But being 22, he'll do what he's got to do. He's got a bird, he's got this, you know, he'll go out. If he rings me one night and says, look, Dad, I'm in a bit of trouble, can you come and help me? I'm down there. I need to know where they are. Now, a lot of parents out there at the moment are Jeremy Cole candidates, is what they are. Jeremy fucking Cole. They want to let the kid out when they're 9 or 10 years old till 3 o'clock in the morning. And then when they get the old bill knocking at the door, they go, oh, I don't know what I've done. I'll tell you what you did. You didn't be a fucking parent. You're not a parent. You're not looking after your child is what goes on. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, we're looking at a social fucking breakdown of our values, our core values, you know, of what should be and shouldn't be. You know, years ago, I mean, yeah. I don't know if you, you know, bit of a funny one, I know, and we'll lighten the mood a little bit. You got Paul Whitehouse and what's his name? Hello, how are you doing? Oh, okay, this is England. You know, it was all very prim and proper. And all of a sudden it turned out to be fucking Geordie Shore, right? It turned out to be in Geordie Shore on MTV. Thanks, MTV, for pimping my kids. Why, hey, like, I grabbed this fucking cock and it wasn't big enough, like, you know. I bet their parents are very fucking proud. The social breakdown in our society at the moment is so deep, I don't think we're going to get it back, Jeff. I don't think we're going to get it back, mate.
Well, I don't know, Dave. You know, I'm an optimist. I do believe that, you know, that it's, in the end people will wake up and realise that this isn't the way to go. Actually, I can see, you know, I mean, people are pessimistic. And it does make you feel that way. But I'm an optimist, Dave. I always believe that the people that do the right thing in the end, and, you know, I've always been like that. It's just
that won't be down to the big lad hanging over your head. That won't be down to the PC brigade, liberals and the left. You know, so what we've got to try and do is get the hands of the people that are supposed to administrate for us in the hands of the right. You know, this multiculturalism at the moment, I drove through Margate the other day, and, you know, that's dreamland, that's Only Fools and Horses, the Johnny Boys out in, that's Margate. I drove through there the other day and actually done a video while I was driving and went, what the fuck goes on here? I've never seen, you know, there was, I must have spotted, and I'm no way exaggerating. Danny, she lives there, and a few people live there as well. You know, I went, fucking, what is all this? This is some multicultural fucking hellhole, whatever I said in the video, and, It's ridiculous. You've got people in burqas on the beach, you know. The men, the husbands of the women in burqas are running in flip-flops and shorts. You know, there's so many different cultures and creeds, and nobody's getting on. The Romas, the Polish, you know, nobody's getting on. Multiculturalism as an experiment has failed in our country. And I want to put that right. You know, listen, it's got our boss now, by the way. Can I tell you what he's going to do?
Yeah, I was just going to give a big, quick shout-out. We got Dave Bolton, who's gracing the room this evening. So, Dave, good to be hearing that to you, brother. So with that, Dave, over to you for something you wanted to speak about on 9:30. That's that correct?
Right. Well, I'm four minutes late already. Listen, don't worry about that. What we've just sorted out today, really, is the need for a massive message to the government before September, before the Downing Street demo. Now, I know, obviously, that the EDL are taking a different route, they're sailing a different path, all right? What I'd like to say is this. If we could get a list of the town halls in our country at the moment, we need to give a direct message to the government. The town halls with the people that work in the town halls, it's a direct line, really. You know, you're on the phones of these people if you did this. What we need to do, really, is mobilise at least 50 to 100 people per town hall on the same day across this country and occupy, right? Now, it will send a bit of a bad message, maybe not, I don't know. I'm looking into the lawfulness of it at the moment. It's a public building. It is ours. We bought and paid for it. We can occupy it if we see fit. You can't hold anybody hostage, obviously. But we're looking at doing that before Downing Street. So anybody that's interested, it'd be up on Facebook, Bossman David Russell or Bossman DJ David J. It'd be up in a message. We've got to send a direct message to these people to tell them we will not take any more of this shit. Now, to go mosque busting like Britain First, right? Don't even fucking bother. There's no need. You're going to an empty mosque. You're doing something. We need to send a message to people. It's what we need. Now, to go to your local town halls, how many divisions are there in the EDL? There's got to be 100 divisions.
Oh, my goodness me.
You know, over.
Tommy,
over
you're good with stats. Tommy, what have we got? There's hundreds, aren't there?
In the chat room, how many divisions of the EDL are there around the country right now?
Tommy?
How many towns and cities are around the country? There's your answer.
No. Whoa. Tommy. How many divisions of the EDL are there around the country right now?
Bloody hell.
Fucking hundreds.
Well, yeah, there's hundreds.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so, I'll tell you what. Best Google it. I don't know.
Google it.
There's so many.
Right.
Dave, there's so bloody many.
Now imagine this. On one day, before September, before the 10 Downing Street demo, which I do believe is changing the date, we need the divisions that are out there at the moment, even if it's 10 people, 20 people, 100 people, 200 people, 500 people, it doesn't matter. You need to occupy that building from day dot when they open, just walk in and sit down. I will have some documentation for you if you're going to do that, and I'll give it to you in a PDF. You can download it and print it out. Anyone that talks to the press, there should be one person talks to the press. Here is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. This is what we're not happy with. Nobody took Islamic ray guns and all that, right? Let's leave all that alone. One person talks to the press if they turn up. If not, we film it ourselves. We put it out on the website. We put it out on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We put it everywhere, ready for Downing Street. And we occupy that building. Now, I would like to say, you know, a friend of mine actually days, right? I won't go that far unless it's got to happen. What we'll say is, you know, when they go to shut up shop, you're still sitting inside. It's a public building. I can't see really, if we get the right acts and statutes and all the gear, we can use the acts and statutes against them to say, we are not leaving. We have the right to do this, and we will do it. You can't shut the doors. You can't lock the doors. You can't do fuck all. On the same day, around the country, mass demo in every town hall known to man, if you can get the people, is what I'd like to say. That's what I was going to say.
They couldn't keep that quiet, could they? if you've got so many people up and down the country doing it, it's bound to get out whether they like it or not.
Well,
it's going to be out there.
50,000 people marched in London against the austerity that we're facing at the moment, and it was not on the news once. You know, so they were hiding what they could hide. But if we film it ourselves and get it out on the website, get it out on Twitter, Facebook, this, that, and the other, people are now going to realise the EDL have taken a little bit of a different path. We're doing this. We've done that. Let's go to 10 Downing Street. Let's fucking shake the foundations of what our country apparently built on through these politicians that want to line their own pockets. Look at Tony Blair at the moment. He's a multi-millionaire, and he's a peace envoy.
Yeah.
He's the biggest warmongering cunt I've ever known. Sorry about that. Oh, God. Sorry.
We used a big one there. Oh, dear. Go and stand in the corner, Dave. That was the big one. That was... That was a... Right, stand in the corner.
He's the biggest thing you next Tuesday.
Take his name, Tommy. Tommy, take his name.
Sorry about that. I got me out. I'm sitting in the
corner.
I'm
just thinking, do I take it down as DJ Bossman David Yard? Do I take it down DJ David Bossman?
just
put
him
down as Bossman. And he's going to be reprimanded for that, Tommy. We can't use the C word on the show. It's
what we'll do is we're going to bury your chest high and throw some stones at you.
I'm actually... Tommy's gone Muslim. He's going to throw stones. Listen, stick the stones,
I've always said, I think Muslims want a stone. Me, I've always said go for it, because weed's expensive round here.
Sticks and stones.
We wouldn't go as far as that, Tommy.
I'm really
sorry about that. Two carrots, one up each nostril, and make him sit in a corner. There you go, today. That's your punishment.
My language is my own. I should keep that to myself. I'm so sorry about that. But what I'm trying to say is that a mass protest in town halls across this country with patriots that need to be there, whether it's for one day, 2 days, take some provisions, do whatever you're doing, occupy that building. There's no law, really, that says you have to leave. Because we bought and paid for all these buildings. They're public buildings. I've got to look into the lawfulness of it. Don't get me wrong. But this is what we should be doing, to send a direct message to Parliament. And then when we do our thing in September, we've already led up to that. And maybe people will go, oh, my God, look what they did. Let's not invade one mosque. Let's go a little bit better than Britain first. Let's do something. The EDL are taking a different path, a different avenue. They're trying to bring down what goes on in this country. And you can't stop the illegals, you can't stop the Muslims, you can't stop nothing, really, without taking down the top of the tree. That's what I'm talking about. And I think we should all get on it and all get out there on a certain day before September, or in September before 10 Downing Street, and occupy those buildings. And when someone comes out and says, what are you doing here? You hand them a piece of paper. When the news turn up, you go, can we have questions? No, no questions. I have a statement that we are all willing to read in certain areas. So if it's a Muslim problem or an immigration problem, you get a different statement for different areas, and you read that statement out and then go back inside and occupy that building, right? That would be major in this country. We've had a massive show of force from pro-Gaza and Palestinian supporters in this country over the last 2 weeks. I want to do something, if we can, and the whole of the EDL and anybody else that wants to get involved, I will say, we should all be doing something to show that we are now. That was a dry run, my people. That was a dry run to show that they can mobilise themselves quicker than us. Let's do something fucking massive here, right? And let them see that we won't be taken quietly, and we're not quiet, and we will do what we've got to do to a point, obviously. Keep it peaceful, right?
Yeah, like we always do, mate. You know, we all say that, and that it's been proved time and time again. All this crap they used to say about the EDL, bunch of thugs, nothing like that. And that's, I've got to say, I'm going to swear, that's a load of bollocks. And people can see us for what we've done and what we've achieved over the last 5 years. Yeah, we was rough around the edges when we started off. I think Tom would agree, we was a bit rough, but we learnt the roads as we went along.
Oh,
and
was it
look
we
rough
around the edges back in 2010?
What?
You know what? Listen, we know about the Ebola virus at the moment, don't we? You know, we're led to believe at the moment. On
yeah,
the news,
it's a bit worrying now, Dave. I thought it was.
You know,
I didn't know to mention that tonight.
I've got something here to play. It's called a 10, obviously. If I can play something for you, we are led to believe that it's through fluid contact only, right? Now, the whole of Africa, and this, there've been over 700 deaths over the Ebola so far. Someone flew to somewhere, and that's now being looked at. Whether or not we're taking people near, I don't know. It's not about fluid-to-fluid contact, right? Now, if you ever listen to this, and I'd like to play it, it's about 5 or 6 minutes long. I'm going to play this for you, and then please tell me, you know, you've all got to be very, very careful what goes on. You know, in confined spaces with lots of people, you know, nobody knows what goes on. It's like SARS, really. I mean, the SARS.
Yeah. Well, this is absolutely horrific, Dave. The actual, if you get it, and it goes, you know, and I think it takes about a week to kill you. That
it's
doctor
cure,
caught
mate.
It, didn't he?
That's it. That's
there's
it.
No, ladies and gentlemen, there's no cure for this Ebola.
No cure. Right. So is there a way for me to play this quickly?
Go ahead, please, Dave.
Sorry, yes. This is. I found this earlier. And I actually believed the news as it was coming out, the radio stations and the TV. Don't worry about it, they said. It's not airborne, it's not anything. It's fluid-to-fluid contact. So, that, you know, they're all doing what they're doing over there. I don't know. But have a listen to this. This was posted actually today on YouTube.
The information that I'm about to present here is frightening. There's really no way around that. However, I request that you do your very best to maintain a calm state of mind. Right now in West Africa, the worst Ebola outbreak in history is in full swing and is jumping across borders at an alarming rate. Already, it has spread to four countries, Guinea, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and now Nigeria. This latest jump into Nigeria is particularly serious since the infected individual carried the virus by plane into Lagos, Nigeria, a city with a population of over 21 million. Doctors Without Borders has referred to the outbreak as, quote, out of control. To make matters worse, there's something very, very important that the corporate media and public health officials aren't telling you regarding this crisis. You'll notice if you read virtually any mainstream article on the topic that they make a point of insisting that Ebola is only transferred through physical contact with bodily fluids. This is not true at all. A study conducted in 2012 showed that Ebola was able to travel between pigs and monkeys that were in separate cages that were never placed in direct contact. Though the method of transmission in the study was not officially determined, one of the scientists involved, Dr. Gary Kovinger, from the National Microbiology Laboratory at the Public Health Agency of Canada, told BBC News that he believed the infection was spread through large droplets that were suspended in the air. Quote, what we suspect is happening is that large droplets, they can stay in the air, but not long, they don't go far, but they can be absorbed in the airway, and this is how the infection starts. And this is what we think because we saw a lot of evidence in the lungs of the non-human primates that the virus got in that way. End quote. Translation, Ebola is an airborne virus. Now, I'm not going to speculate as to whether these so-called journalists and public health officials who keep repeating the official line regarding the means of transmission are lying or are just participating in some massive display of synchronized incompetence. But what I will say is that this shoddy reporting is most likely getting people killed right now, and may in fact be putting all of humanity in danger. How so? Well, think about it for a second. By convincing people that the virus cannot travel through the air, important precautions that could reduce the spread of the virus are not being taken. For example, the other passengers on the plane that traveled to Lagos, Nigeria, were not quarantined. To put this into context, Ebola kills between 50 and 90% of its victims. So the stakes are very, very high here. This particular strain of Ebola is not Ebola Zaire. This is a new strain, and it may in fact be more dangerous than the Zaire variety, not because of any difference in the symptoms. Symptoms are identical, but because this new virus seems to be harder to contain. Whether this is due to some characteristic of the virus itself or merely dumb luck is uncertain at this time. But the rate at which this outbreak has extended its range is unprecedented. Right now, the question on everybody's mind is whether this virus will spread outside of Africa. Considering the fact that Ebola has a 3-week incubation period, can travel through the air, and has already hitchhiked on an international flight, this is a real possibility. There are some who are downplaying the probability of this outcome, and to be honest, I hope that they're right. But the simple fact of the matter is that these people are basing their assessment on the faulty premise that Ebola is not an airborne virus. Now, the first thing you might be feeling when looking at this situation is a sense of fear and helplessness. While that's a perfectly normal reaction, it's not really helpful. Instead, we should be thinking in terms of practical steps we can take to influence the outcome. One thing we can all do is start confronting journalists and public officials who keep making false statements regarding the way Ebola spreads. In the transcript of this video on SCG News, we will include links to the original study and the BBC's report in 2012. Use these sources and this video to put them in their place. We also need to confront the fact that there isn't a full-out, coordinated international effort to contain this. This is being treated like a sideshow. This crisis has a very real potential of becoming a main event. The doctors on the ground in West Africa don't have enough staff or resources to deal with the situation. It is absolutely inexcusable for the US and the EU to be investing billions of taxpayer dollars into their little power games in Ukraine and Syria, while Ebola is getting a foothold in Africa. This is serious. Call them, write them, Heckle them in the streets if you have to, but don't allow them to ignore this issue. Now, whether or not official policy towards the Ebola crisis changes, there are some precautions that you should take right now for yourself and for your family. 1. Know where you would go if you need to leave your home on short notice. If Ebola escapes Africa, the last place you want to be is in a densely populated metropolitan area. It may be that the most practical destination for your family would be a rural area near your current home. But if you're already having concerns about the government that you're living under and how they might handle a crisis like this, then you might want to start looking at some alternatives. Finding an alternative location that suits your family's needs is something that requires a lot of time and research. So don't put this off. Primary characteristics you should be examining in an alternative destination are geography, political environment, climate, population density, and visa terms and requirements. Ideally, you would want to end up somewhere that is geographically isolated to some degree. And this brings us to 2. If you don't have passports for yourself and each of your dependents, get them now. This is not to say that you should leave the country, but you should have the means to do so. In countries where the Ebola outbreak is underway, it's getting harder and harder to exit. Borders are getting closed down. Flights are getting cut off. This didn't happen right away, but you definitely don't want to be waiting for your passport to show up if Ebola arrives in your city. 3. Know what you would carry with you if you had to leave on short notice. Have those items ready and have the luggage to carry them. It would be wise to consider buying a pack of surgical masks as part of this. Now, if you think about it, these preparations are wise steps to take regardless of whether the Ebola situation deteriorates or not. Knowing where you would go in an emergency and having the means to get there on short notice is important for a wide variety of situations. The civilian population of Iraq, Syria, East Ukraine, and Gaza can attest to that. Whatever you do, don't let fear take control of your mind. Take the steps you can take now, monitor the situation calmly, and be prepared to adapt if necessary.
Well, you know...
Silence!
Oh, my goodness me. Kick him, Dave. Kick him out, that little bugger. Bloody limboed under the bloody door again. Cheeky little sod. You there, Dave?
We are led to believe that the Ebola virus is something that is not transferable through airborne contact. It's funny that, because there's been numerous reports, Google it for yourselves, people, the Ebola virus from a few years ago. When the first things came out about Ebola virus, it was airborne, it was this, it was that, be very careful, you know, everyone was wearing face masks, you know, it's much like the SARS virus. And we're led to believe, really, that it won't come to the UK, it won't come to the UK. We're led to believe that it will come to you through the media, through the corporations that say, don't worry about it, let's just kill a load of people. You know, I don't know what goes on, but I found it very intriguing and very, can I say, knowledgeable. You know, this man was talking, I've actually posted the link in the chat room, just so people can see that, because if you actually watch the video, there's a lot of writing in there, there's a lot of articles in there as well, actually telling to say, you know, it is an airborne virus, it's not about fluid-to-fluid contact, it's not about anything, this is deadly, there is no cure.
It certainly is,
it's probably
more deadly, it's probably worse than the plague, Dave, probably worse than the plague even, it's... The mortality rate is just phenomenal.
It's 100%.
As you say.
The mortality rate is 100%. You know, if anyone contracts Ebola, on the other end, we're looking at, you know, planes coming into our country to certain airports. We're looking at boats coming into our country through certain airports. And we're letting this into our country. Now, like I said, you know, the other week, a country without borders is not a country. Our borders should be secured. It's as simple as that. If the borders are not secure, then this will come to our country. Now, I actually heard a report on the radio earlier. As much as they didn't want to say, they did want to say. And they said, you know, the people aren't trained to deal with that. They can't spot the warning signs. They can't spot. You know, it's like the flu, first of all. Sore throat, this, blah, blah, blah. These people aren't trained to deal with it. So they're letting people in their country to spread that shit around England. I mean, what the fuck goes on, Jeff?
Well, before we know it, we've got an epidemic on a massive scale that could be the end of our civilization if we're not careful. We'll say that we've got it in control. It's what when they tell me that they've got it in control, Dave, I worry. I bloody worry. Because you know they haven't got a clue.
Well, If you don't worry about, worry. When a son has got it in control, be worried that it's very much out of control, right? They will keep you as quiet as they've got to keep you. They will keep you as dumbed down and as a sheep of this society as they've got to do, really. You know, this is what goes on. See, this is the media for you. You know,
yeah.
I'm worried. I'm worried at the moment. You know, years ago when it was a SARS outbreak, you saw all these.
Yeah, I remember that.
They still don't trust it. Yeah, they still don't trust it. You know, so we're supposed to believe the news that says, don't worry about it, it's all right, it's not airborne. You know, you're not going to catch it unless you have you do something, you know, sex or kissing or, you know, it's through bodily fluids. Bullshit, is it through bodily fluids? After what I watched earlier on, yeah. And I put the link in the chat room, have a little look at it, and look at the articles that come up from the BBC, from scientists, from this and that, telling you it's fucking airborne. Now, this is where I always get
And
funny.
And that's the deadliest one, Dave. If it's airborne, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to say the way it is. It's deadly. If it's airborne, it can just... Anybody can cough and sneeze, and it stays in the air for, how long did they say, Dave? It was about quite a while.
Yeah,
and you could be just passing. Of course, you intake that, you breathe that in, that ends up in your lungs. But, you know, the thing about it is we don't want to send alarm bells out. We're just always saying is just be careful, guys, because
just
we
be
have this
watch.
Open
be
borders
careful.
Problems. And what can we do, Dave, if this is... one of these
Listen,
deadly viruses.
What happened to rabies, Jeff? You quarantined every animal coming into the country. Quarantined every animal over rabies coming into the country. There is no rabies in this country at the moment, but it's in other countries now because we quarantine the animals.
That's right.
So I'm not calling other people animals of different races, religions, this and whatever, but at the end of the day, if people are going to come in, surely they should be quarantined at some point to say that you haven't got that. It's fucking deadly, mate. It's more deadly than AIDS.
Well, I think basically, Dave, for this moment in time, and with the seriousness of how deadly this disease is, I would think it would be, you know, if I was in charge of this country, I would say, right, we've got to just... keep things people out of this out of the country for about, was it 3 weeks or so?
I think 8 weeks, 10 weeks. So and that's for rabies. Well, I mean, that's not even a human condition. If you get bitten by a dog with rabies, you're in trouble. So a direct threat to our country and a direct threat to other countries around the world, you at least go, you know what, there's an old in pen, get in there for at least 8 to 10 weeks or whatever, you know, cut to 3 weeks or whatever it takes to see whether you've got it or you ain't, you know. And, you know, what you said was there was apes and something else in a whole pen. And they all contracted this Ebola, right? So it's definitely fucking airborne. Now, whether the BBC and Channel 4, Channel 5, ITV, Sky, and the rest of these channels here want to tell you that it's very, very safe, it is not safe. It is not safe.
We're putting it out there because anybody can check it. Go on, Tommy. Sorry, Tommy. Go ahead. What are you going to say, mate?
Say when swine flu came to this country, wasn't it?
Well,
You know what? You know, one day they were saying it'll never come to this country. Next day, swine flu outbreak in the UK. But I've just found this thing on internet.
Yeah, we had a couple of outbreaks. That's right, Tom. I remember that, mate.
I just googled it now. The Ebola, I just found it here now, that a Liberian immigrant's been held in the UK on suspicion of having Ebola.
It is worrying.
An asylum seeker who had arrived in Britain from Liberia was suspected of carrying the deadly Ebola virus that emerged. This was only 2 hours ago.
You see?
Oh,
now,
God.
Now, mark my words, this is going to go, you know, look, we've had the MRSA, we've had, what's her name? The bird from fucking
foot and mouth
swine flu.
You know, and you've had people in the hospital going to have their lip hose, their lips done, and whatever, and they're coming out with all sorts of stuff, right? That's in the hospital. Men behaving badly. Leslie, someone. You know, she got fucked up. You know, what we're looking at the moment is the total annihilation. Really, if Ebola reaches our country and it's airborne, that's it. It's over. It is over. I'm telling you. Listen, you can't differentiate between the fact that it was in Africa And now, you know, someone went to America. It's been diagnosed. He's dead. They're now worried about who was on the plane. Now, you know, he didn't have sex with everyone on the plane. He actually breathed in and out on that little tube there, where the air's recycled and this and the other. You know, it's fucking airborne. It's airborne. I'm telling you. You know, this is going to go.
Yeah.
This is going to go bigger. Listen, what's the date today? 31st of 7, 2014. This is the EDL radio show with Jeff, Tommy, and myself. Watch the ride on this one, because I'm going to tell you now, this is going to go bigger than anything's ever gone. If someone gets into our country with that shit, it's going to go down the pan. We're going to have at least probably 2,000 people before it's contained, right? And there's no cure for it. That's the thing. There's no cure for it. There's no cure, mate.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, Dave, at this moment in time, I would say to the world, you know, the world, there's the people that's in charge of these deadly diseases. I would say, get your fingers out, get working on it, because if this is the case that we could have had one that's come into this country, we've got issues on our way if we're not careful. So get your fingers out, because, you know, this is deadly. So, but anyway, Dave, I was going to say thank you, because we don't want to be ringing alarm bells with people.
Just be aware.
But the thing about it is, you know, we come across these things, Dave. It needs to be put out there. We need to say you've got to be very careful. Just be aware of, you know, what's out there, because you don't know. I would say, what can you say, Dave? Because these symptoms are like flu. They're very similar to flu, and everybody gets flu now, and they don't take it seriously.
You get sore throat.
So they start, like, projecting vomiting and...
Well, it's too late then.
Exploded diarrhea and all that. This is what happens. This is where they say that this doctor caught it from, because this doctor was working on some of these patients. And, of course, with these... They've had like exploding diarrhea, you know, all sudden bang, you know, and it's all over the place. And if you just get a bit of that on you, you know, and you didn't wash yourself or your hands quick enough or whatever, it's still going to get you. You might have a little cut or something rather like that. That's how dangerous it is.
Isn't it? You know, if that reaches, you know, proper civilised countries where people pack themselves on tubes, they pack themselves at offices.
Oh, my God,
heavily mass populated areas where someone might have it. You know, this I don't want to say the end of days, but
Dave, they've got out of control. You know what you're going to see in this country? You're going to see martial law. And when I say martial law, I mean everything that it holds when you've got a deadly disease in your country and it's a certain part of the areas. And then, you know, this is where the army will go on the streets and anybody tries to get into certain areas, they'll be taken out of picture.
We've got a few messages there. What better reason, from Paul Alexander, what better reason do we have than to close our borders? What the fuck happened to the quarantine regulations of the TB era of the early 60s? Doctor kept, this is Eric Cole, doctor kept in quarantine for 6 months for rabies. Paul Alexander has posted up a link that I've not looked at yet. Hundred to 500 Congolese people to the US, but one had Ebola, so that was put on the pan. If Eric Kyle again, if one person, Heathrow, millions will die in London. It's a collectivist plan to dispose of 3 to 5 billion people on this planet. Just ask Bill Ayers, Bernadine Doreen, and Weather Underground people. 7 billion people and rising is too many people, Iggy. And Obama's pals and compatriots, you know, and there's a last link I've not looked at yet. But this is, you know, we've got to understand that if the news, the mainstream news, are telling you there is no problem.
There is a problem.
This is sheep of our society that believe the news and say there are no problems. Don't worry. It's not airborne. It's from fluid to fluid contact. So why be told anyone spits on you? You see, you're nobbing something, or something that you always see, someone sits on you. You know. Let's look at it a little bit. Now, if it's gone as widespread as what it's gone, that's not from one man and one woman and spreading that disease to 700 other people that have died in Africa so far. This is airborne,
yeah.
And the news would like to tell you that
it's
not airborne.
Is, Dave.
you know, so we should be worried. We should be very, very worried over here. So in mass populated areas, you know, this could go. It's not a very good situation, is it, really, Jeff? Do you know what I mean?
No, but you know, as I say, just you know, I would say to our listeners, because I know probably people like myself, well, I'm worried. You're worried, Dave. But I would say just beware that you know that there is this deadly disease out there, and I would say that if you do get any sort of symptoms, whatever, just get yourself to the doctors. But you can spread it, ain't you, Dave? What could you say to people if they think that they've maybe contracted it? You know, because you want people out of the circulation of people. If they go into a doctor's surgery, only got cough and sneeze, or maybe a bit of a sweat droplet comes off, I'm not saying like that. And before you know it, there's another 5 or 10, maybe 20 people more.
Well, see, this is what we don't know at the moment. You know, it's a major threat, don't get me wrong. They're trying to tell you it's not airborne. We're trying to say it is, you know, there's been X amount of scientists and you know, people that have said it is airborne, and this was a few years ago. Now all of a sudden Ebola's here and with us, it's not airborne anymore. So what's it? It's changed tactics, is it? No, I don't think so. You know, we all need to be very careful. I would stay away from probably anyone that's been to Africa. I'd stay away from anybody that's been in the Middle East, which can be a very odd country. Right? be very careful. You know, sorry I had to put that in there. Just to lighten the load a little bit. You know, but this is something we've got to be very, very diligent over. You know, this is your health. This is your family. This is what's going on at the moment. And all the while, I see a different side of it. You know, it's not good, and we've got to worry. And I'd like to put that worry out there to people to make sure that people can actually look after themselves if it can.
Oh, I agree. I think it's only right that we give that information out there to people what to do, and maybe once we get a few things put together, then maybe we can pass information on to our listeners as well, Dave, because we want to look after people as much as we possibly can with what we do with our shows. I've got Eric Carl saying here, it's just caught me eye. Eric's saying, look how many people died when the plague was about. My goodness me, I would say, Eric, to that, if it wasn't for the Great Fire of London, that would have still run its course. If it wasn't for the Great Fire of London, which wiped out all the rats, this, that and the other, I think it would have still run its course. And it killed millions upon millions. It was European. It was a European plague. It crossed Europe. It was everywhere, wasn't it? It was massive.
Yeah,
it was absolutely massive.
Definitely.
So, all I'm saying is, you know, just be aware. And if we get any information, it's something that we will tend to be looking into more, as you said, that we've made a put note of the date today, and any information that we get through, and any way that we can sort of give out to you the great listeners out there, anything that might help you with avoiding contact with so many people, something like that, we will do that. That's what we're here for.
Well said, Jeff.
We look after each other. That's what it's all about, guys. But, we got problems with the bloody... Now we got Ebola. The bloody Ebola as well now. Oh, my God, Dave.
You know what? Can I just say, the guy I'm working for at the moment knows a pest controller. And he reckons that... Because I'm working in Margate at the moment, obviously, doing a utility room and kitchen... he actually knows that a pest controller that has said bed bugs, cockroaches and fleas are absolutely fine. That's cleanliness, brother. Bed bugs, right? That's cleanliness. That's all it is. And if you move with a mattress with bed bugs, you're going to keep getting bed bugs. Now, Margate at the moment,
of course,
really, have been overrun with all sorts of pests that it shouldn't really be if you're clean. People aren't clean, and it is, you know, I lived at a place 2 years ago, and we have rats from next door. Too posh to push, wouldn't get rid of his rubbish. We had rats running along the fence like squirrels. I lost my two dogs over it, because they piss when they run.
Oh, my God.
My dog's actually caught leptospirosis, blue, 14, Friday, Saturday, it was too far gone. Stitch turned yellow on the afternoon, and on Monday, he was gone, mate. Right? That's people that harbour rubbish, you know, down their alleyways and do this and other. And there's rats running everywhere, and they run by their piss, and we lost our two dogs. Now, what you got to understand, excuse me, is these people don't live like we live. They've not got the values and the core beliefs, you know, the Mr. Muscle of our land, if we can say that. They're not very clean people. And the pest controllers in Margate at the moment are working fucking overtime to get rid of the bed bugs, the cockroaches, the rats, the mice. You know, this is what these people are about. This really should not be introduced into our society, you know, because we have a society here that works very... You know, causing all sorts of problems, and the bed bugs thing, you know, my mate told me down in Croydon about 5 years ago, his neighbour come in with bed bugs, and he had to have, you know, they were on him. His house got bed bugs. What's the word for it? I can't remember the word.
Infestation
of something. Scabies. Because of his next door neighbours but two come up to his house and done this, he had to have his whole house fumigated, and he will not let them in his house anymore. You know, so this is how far it goes. You know, if you're going to get someone from a foreign country over here, it's in their luggage, you know, it's in their sheets, their bed sheets, their clothes, it's everywhere. And when you let these people over, this thing will fucking thrive over here, Jeff. And it ain't no shit, bruv. You know, this is why I'm so set against closing our borders. We can't keep letting
these
people in to put us under attack.
Where this Ebola's concerned, Dave, and the consequences for being lapsy-daisy could be the downfall of the people of the nation. And this is how serious it is. And we do know the mortality rate. But, ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you get this bloody Ebola, you know...
There is no cure, Jeff.
Surviving Ebola is basically, 10%, 20%, Dave? Something like that, isn't it? Very, very, very small. Dangerous it is.
From Iggy Mum, in New York City, some 5-star hotels have bed bugs. But that's down to the guests staying in the 5-star hotel. So whatever they had in another country or whatever they did, they bought with them and put in that hotel. You know, you can't cut them. It's the thing, you know, this goes back to, I know it's a long way around things, but what you got to understand is that if other people live in some sort of society where cleanliness is not next to godliness, cleanliness doesn't mean everything, then sooner or later they're going to bring some shit to your country. Oh, excuse me. You know, we have bananas that come over that sometimes contain big spiders. You know, these things come with the imports. Yeah. And we're importing foreigners into our country that are also importing some stuff with them that they don't even know they fucking got, Jeff. You know, and now we've got this Ebola shit. I mean, it's fucking deadly. There is no...
You're showing on Australia at the moment, Dave, 729 people dead from it.
Well, that's 640 or 650.
Now, mate.
And it's going up by the day in a minute. And so it's very dangerous. And I would like to say to him, listen, I know my mate Tom is a prepper. He's got a bag, you know, a proper trailer and a caravan full of stuff. It'll just go off and go. I think a lot of that. Because, you know, if you watch 28 Days Later, I watch films on there, it's all a bit scary. I watched Blackout. Where you know, someone stop the electric, if it goes, you've got no car payments, you've got no gas, you've got no water, you've got fuck all. So breakdown within like 3 days, you've got nothing. There is nothing here. You've got nothing. We all rely too much on the other country. To our daily doings, that buying stuff and shop. Can you imagine if something went off and the shop went, and they're all empty, fighting them, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dave, I was going to say, Tommy, could you carry on a minute, because I need to call back in. I've just remembered I've gone over my bloody time, mate, and I need to call back. So,
so if I
leave it up to you and Tommy, because it's been very interesting, also very worrying at the same time with this Ebola we've been discussing, but if it's dangerous, it's only right that we should be talking about the
consequences. Jeff. I don't want to scare anyone. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to scare anyone. There is no cure. We'll fly from all sorts of things at the moment. And our government and our medical fucking real now it's all don't worry about it. You know, it's got to be contact. Bullshit. It talks to somebody and spits on a handrail on a tube and you touch. Do you know what I'm saying? This is a lot.
Yeah. I know. Dave, I've got Paul Alexander saying, Echo and friggin' Dalek now. Turn the comic effects off, Jeffy.
That's a shout out to Paul, by the way.
Anyway, I've got a big heads up for me dear friend, Army, British News. Got 40 minutes left, so I'm going to have to call back in, Dave, because this echo is driving me mad. All right, I'll be right back. Thank you, guys.
Sorry?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here, bud.
In the chat room, please, if you wouldn't mind.
Can I get into the chat room, buddy? Your partner's got the computer at the minute.
Right, okay. Do you want me to do it then?
Yeah, you go for it, bud.
Well, a massive shout out to obviously the English Defence League, defending everything English as a league from 5 years ago till now. We've got we've got British News, we've got the big Dave Bolton himself, we've got the EDL Minx, Eric Kyle, Fun Times at Gitmo. Is that Guantanamo? That's a good one, I like that. We've got X amount of guests. We've also got Lion 021. We've got Paul Alexander. I like that. We've got Richard Dinton. We've got Sanja 73. And Vito Espartito. No fucking, what is it?
Mamma mia, no Sharia.
I love the way how you well, sort of say his name. It's Vito Espartito.
That's it. Vito Espartito. Yes. No fucking Sharia. Mamma. Well done, chaps. Sorry, I had that because I see the chat room and you signed out, Jeff. So, but you know what? We've got to keep an eye on the news a little bit. I'm talking about the news on the internet. There's a lot of people that put stuff out every day. I believe what the BBC, ITV and Channel 4 and Channel 5 are telling you. Unless you want to believe, you know, I'm telling you they're giving you some sort of different agenda. For them to say that the Ebola virus will never hit England, right, what's the fucking role on that one? I'm telling you. We've got people coming over.
Well, we'll see. I think all we've got to do is just see, Dave, because... over the next week or so, any
that's
other
it.
Cases will be popping up. And they can't hide this. If it's out there, people need to know to protect themselves and their families.
But they will hide you. Of course, fucking panic. No, listen. It's not too much. Sort of ski down to the local shop and ski back again. As soon as it snows, people mass buy bread and milk. Now, can you see the pick that would go out if the Ebola virus was in our country? They will never tell you that. Do you know what I mean? So it's down to us to be vigilant. Is it vigilant? Yeah, it's vigilant. And to be aware of what goes on. And to try to protect the people that give us what they should give us. You know, if they popped up on the telly one day and went, be careful. You know, it's here on the nose. Yeah. Nice example. It's me on the news, right? Fucking hell, people, be careful. Sort yourselves out. Wear masks. Do this. Go and get a generator. Go to Tesco's. Ram raid the fucking stores. But, you know, you do something, don't you? But if they're telling you, don't
don't worry. And I would like to say to you, your worry should hit a scale of fucking 1 to 25. And 25 being the most you could ever worry. As soon as...
You'll, I'll tell you what, Dave, you are breaking up bad, mate. And
sorry about that.
He said, Paul Alexander said, Echo's gone now, but give Doctor Who a shout, the fucking Daleks are still here.
Sorry about that. Sorry. I think it's because I start shouting. I'll keep my voice to a below.
I'll tell you that, Dave, maybe those Muslim children on your copper lines again.
Well, yeah, it's funny to say
What I was going to do, Dave, as I say, we've got everybody running around saying, don't panic, Mr. Man.
Silence!
Panic, we've got...
I kill you!
We've got them all panicking. Silence, don't kill you. Oh, that little bugger's got back in again. Get him, Tom.
He's in your studio, Tommy. He's in your studio, Tommy. Get rid of him, bruv.
Silence! Tom.
I kill you!
I'm trying to, but it's just thrown sand in my eyes.
Grab him around the throat and tell him to go and be a suicide.
I got a word to Dave. I don't know if I shared it with you, and I was shared it with Tommy. I was thinking another word for, you know, the so-called Palestinians. I was thinking of Palestites, you know, because they're very similar to parasites. And they sponge off everybody from around the world. And I think of a new word.
Like
Palestites.
Like
how about that? Do you like that, Dave?
Yeah, I do like that. I mean, we come up with a new word on Friday. I think we've already been out there. I was just talking to the team last night before, and hurry up, badly. So I talked to someone, sort of face to Skype or Skype to whatever, or mobile to whatever, and we had a conference call, of which probably too much time, like I normally do. Went to sleep. He went, fucking here we go again. Do you know what I mean? One of them ones. And I went, this is Murray Houston. You know, this is a new word. And they're trying to get it into all their Twitters now, the writers. You know, we've got a media team. They're getting it out on Twitter. They're doing it there, Facebook.
Yeah.
On Islamo Recusant. Recently mean. Up on Google, whatever you want to do. Basically, you will not come. You will not bow down and lie down and be walked over. It means you will not bow. We've been at the moment where Islamophobia was made up by Islamic potentials. So I want to work again. That's Islamic recursion. Islamo recusant, because we will not.
Yeah, I like that, Dave. I was going to say, because I know tomorrow night you'll be doing your show. Would you like to give a quick plug for the show? Because I know you've been what do you do? You screened this show with your show, didn't you, Dave?
I've been restreaming the East Anglian.
Radio show tonight.
We've got a fair few listeners on. You know, I play it from my computer. It goes for the. I'm restreaming the show tonight from EDF. Calling it as well, Jeff, which I will get. We had a few problems last week. I've actually rejigged my studio, and my computer is in a code to the router, or whatever you want to call it. Tomorrow night, www.martyrradiofm.co.uk, the number 8, motive 8, radiofm.co.uk. Put it this way, this is very tame. we take live calls, all sorts. You know, the last couple of free shows have been absolutely fantastic from certain people that have called in. Now, I've had it on authority that Paul Weston was going to call in. He's not got back to me at the moment, but I'm hoping to talk to him tomorrow, and we're going to get some sort of Q&A coming. Well, I've talked to him already, obviously. You know, he's in the right. through to us that he's got to answer. If not on tomorrow, it should be next week. But I'm trying to get him on tomorrow. But Martin Vite Radio, if not on tomorrow night, you've not heard nothing like it. This is the videos.
I was going to say, we're right now, we got probably about 4 minutes or so, Dave. So once again, I've got to thank you for being a part of the team tonight on the panel. And of course, Tommy, as I am, Tommy, thank you so much for the script tonight, Tom, and talking about 100 years ago of World War One. It seems like just yesterday when you see the newsreel run. So, Tommy, we're going to pass it over to you. Thanks, mate, for tonight, for putting that together as well. So, and what you was talking about, that was really, really interesting. So I hope our listeners have enjoyed that as much as what I heard what you're talking about. So thanks, Tommy. Back to you, mate.
No problem, guys. I just let you all know as well is that all this Palestinian solidarity campaign, whatever they call themselves. Oh, sorry, the Palestites solidarity campaign. They're doing a big national mobilisation on Saturday once again in every major UK town and city across the country once again. Like I say, if they happen to be where you are, just stand up to the bastards, guys, because someone has to at the end of the day. The IDF did tweet me saying that they said, God bless the EDL. That's what they tweeted back to me.
Oh, did you hear that, Dave?
Yeah,
God bless the EDL.
God bless us.
And the far left on my Twitter have gone absolutely ballistic. Oh, no, the EDL and Nazis.
Yeah, well, bugger them. We've always supported Israel's right to defend itself and to look after its interests and that, and we continue to do so. Whether you let this like it or not, spin on my middle finger if you don't. There you go. There you go. That's all to them lefties and them, I'm Palestine, middle finger to you lot and spin. There you go,
guys. We got a message from Line 21. It's Isaiah 3:11. Woe to the wicked, disaster is upon them, they will be paid back for what the bands have done. Fantastic, brilliant. Ooh. Brilliant.
There you go, something to cheer us up at the end of the night. Anyway, Dave, once again, thank you so much. Even though you're breaking up, there were some people saying you sounded like a Dalek, Dave. So
you know what,
Good stuff, brother. Well done, Dave.
I've stretched myself in a place where I have 43 bars on the iPad. So, again, very good. Charles was talking, I done my show the other night and my site kept going off, the internet kept going off. I restarted the router, I've done all this, Listen, people trying to... I had someone message me earlier and say, all my videos on my page at the moment have all gone. I went, well, look past 2014 then, have a look. Yeah, they're all gone. They've removed these videos.
Oh, my God, Dan.
Right, so let's look what goes on here. Listen, we're all going to watch this thing. I've got good virus protection here, right? But if it starts cutting out and I've been watching my mixer all night, and my mixer has been going up and down all night. So as far as I'm concerned, the recording that I've done is spot on. If you're missing it, it's
anyway, Dave, I've got to cut this short now, mate. I've got that lady saying, Mike, tell me in my ear, I've got 90 seconds. So Dave, once again, thank you so much. Tommy,
thank you, mate.
Absolutely fantastic script tonight, and thanks for talking about the World War One this evening. Remembering all of our great heroes from the past and today's heroes as well. So God bless every single one of them. So that's for myself, Jeff, Dave, and Tommy English. I forgot what I was going to say now. No surrender.
No surrender.
Go on, son.
No surrender. Good night, guys. See you tomorrow night, guys. God bless you.
Might say my life is in a rut. Quite happy, I've got. People might say that I should strive for more.
as you ever hate me. I've done enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging green and black. Here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader, don't place your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper, rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
There you go. We can have maybe 5 minutes or so in the archives this evening.
For the archives, mate. For the archives.
Yeah, archives. just do it now and again. But you know what, Dave? I think we've had a good show tonight. I think we put so much in there, so much information, so many great links. Paul Alexander. Who else was there? Who was dropping all the links? There's quite a few people dropping links, wasn't there? It's absolutely fantastic tonight. That's what I'm saying. That's what I love about the chat room, Dave. So many people, like Paul Alexander, he's always putting great links in, isn't he, Dave? Always.
It's one of those things where, you know, I actually carried on recording. There's nothing coming through because you're not on. Unless I actually plug my iPad into the mixer, we can't get the
moment. Yeah. No,
you were sounding pretty good, but I was sounding pretty good. Tommy, I don't know if he's got earpiece. Tommy, are you there?
No, he's just... As soon as the show ends, he normally drops off just at the end, normally.
Right, okay. You echoing, and I started echoing when Tommy was on, so he needs to plug his headphones in. As soon as you start talking, you know, it comes out of whatever you're using, out of the speaker.
I'll probably talk to him tomorrow and... I'll tell him to, put the headphones on like, when we do the show.
Well, just saying, it's nothing against anyone personal, you know that. I love Tommy, I think he's great, right? but people are saying, it sounds like a Dalek, it sounds, I've had it on my own site.
Yeah.
It's very hard sometimes to get it out.
Yeah, but as I say, even though we was breaking maybe, echoing a little bit. Do you know what? People stayed with us though, Dave.
I think they
enjoyed it, what we put together. And as I say, Tommy's little script there, what he'd done for the show. It reminds me tomorrow. I'm probably going to have to set the show up unless you want to do it, Dave. Well, it's up to you, mate.
you'll be on
your own radio show.
Sorry, bud.
There was books up to today, but I've got to book from book them in from tonight.
I'm going from work today.
And I went, you know what, the Ebola virus, we've got to get something out about it. So I saved it, done it, MP3, bump thing, and we've got a player. Tomorrow night from 9, this is a show you're not ready for. You know, we swear we did, you know, this is, it's on the internet for fuck's sake, you know, it's after the watershed, fuck them. I will say what I say and have done.
Yeah.
We try, you know,
well,
to give
no,
back.
I mean, things that, you know, the thing about it is, Dave, is that things need to be said, and that's what we're here for. We're here to for information for our listeners. And, you know, yes, there is a worrying prospect that we've got out there, but it's only right that people know, you know, how dangerous it is. I mean, when people try to, you know, stop people panicking about it, you know, you've got to panic a little bit, or not so much panic, but be very, very careful. Be very careful.
You don't want to catch that
because it's like having a death warrant put on your head, isn't it? Let's be honest,
well,
Dave.
Listen, you might as well just sit there and go, you know what, fuck it. I'm dead already. Do you know what I mean? You might as well just go, I'm dead already.
Yeah.
AIDS, they've actually worked on it a little bit, and we've got a few sort of, not a cure, but a prolonging of life. We've got at the moment is Ebola. Is if you get Ebola, you're fucking dead, right? Now, but our people pack themselves into the tubes, they pack themselves in at work, they pack themselves. You only take one person now, apparently. Now, I look on the other side of things, Jeff, the other scale of things. It's not my ball, they say. Of course it fucking is, you divs. Why would you be telling us that? Why is that the first thing you tell us? It's not airborne, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It must be airborne. If 760 fucking 80 people are dead at the moment, so don't tell me it's not fucking airborne. You know, I've got to be careful now. My family, I'm working in the state.
Cool shit.
You know,
oh, my goodness me. I'm thinking like of my family and that, and you know, like you know my grandchildren and my great-grandson, like, you know, my goodness me, it's frightening for us all, you know. But, you know, all you've got to do is just pass the information along to your family. So just be very careful. That's all
anyway. You've got to be careful, mate. You know, but at the end of the day...
I mean, we can't, you know, if it's out in the air and it's in the air, there's nothing that we can do, Dave. You know, if we just walk along and
mind our own business...
Breathe in, can't you? You know.
Well, that's what you should be doing. What?
Right, Dave, you're breaking, mate. Breaking quite bad there.
Again.
But,
it's all right. NW, you know, the health organisation, NHO, whatever it is. Yeah, don't worry about that. That's right. No, it's not everything. It's fluid. Well, spit on
as I said earlier on, the World Organization of Health Control, I would say anybody's listening, get your fingers out, get working on it, you know, because, as I say, this could be very, very nasty. That's all we can say, Dave. That's all we can say about this terrible, terrible disease that's out there at this moment in time. But, Dave, once again, I've got to thank you for tonight as well, mate. Your input for the show was fantastic, as usual. I really enjoyed the show this evening. I got to admit, it was really good. The things that we led in from one to another, I thought was very good.
That's the problem. I do lead off a little bit. My apologies, you know. No.
If it needs to be put out there, then we need to put it out there. Maybe we do spend a bit of extra time because it's only right that we do, because it's so important that we try to put the right information out there for everybody, you know, because it's very worrying. But anyway, I've got to thank you, Dave. I'm gonna cut short because I need to go and make myself a nice cup of tea. I'm bloody being tired last day. Gotta have a cup of tea, mate. You know what I mean? Got a cup of tea. Clearly, I'm a bit croaky now. So, once again, Dave, thanks for helping tonight, being part of the panel and the team. Fantastic job as usual.
Can I just say,
screened in the show as well for your new show.
Can I just say, if I get too much and you go, fuck it, I don't want Dave on, just don't have me on then. You know, I know what I say is sometimes I'm a little bit thingy, sometimes I'm not, sometimes I'm a little bit anti this or pro that, or, you know, if someone says, look, fuck it, don't have Dave on.
We've got things and we've got to be in a bonnet about certain things and we do push it a little bit. You know, that's what we're about, aren't we? We've all got our views about things and that's probably why people listen to it. They like our views. They like what we've got to say. In fact, you know, of course, like North America and all that, you know, the more we speak about the EDL and what we're doing and our fight back against the scourge, the Islamic scourge, and they can't wait to get enough of it. So, you know, and that's what we do. Thank goodness we're here to do, you know, what we do, Dave. So at least people have got some idea of exactly how you do to combat certain issues that we've had over here over the last few years. Because they're getting it coming their way, and they've probably got it there now. You know,
news is exactly what it says on a fucking tin. News is news.
Exactly.
You go, oh my God, something blew up. Something done this. The government are doing this. Someone's doing that. It's not about Miley Cyrus. It's not about fucking Geordie Shaw. It's other shit that they want to show you every day on the fucking news to make you go, oh, okay. Sheep. The sheep, mate. Fucking sheep. It fucks me. You know, Jeff, honestly, in all fairness, right, I have to step away. I'm on a 30-day ban on my account. My left arm's been cut off. My left arm is dead.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Oh, no.
So I'm using the secondary account. I'm trying to add people. I'm trying to do what I'm going to do. The message is not getting out to the amount of people it should be getting out to as to what we're going to do. But don't worry, 30 days. That's all right. You know, before the end of August, I'm back on my old account. You know, I'll share the video.
There you go, Dave.
That everyone will share, Jeff.
And got someone else here, Dave. He's swearing occasionally.
Jeff.
Hang about.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, a gun. You thought I was going to say a son of a bitch, didn't you?
You know, look, at the end of the day, I do believe we've had other people so far share something. I've shared that video and they said you're prolifically sharing videos. We've got to ban you. Hang on a moment. And someone posted that video to my own timeline and shared that with somewhere else. And someone else shared the same video again to my own timeline, blah, blah, blah. And you go, why have you banned me then? Why? Because you're in the fucking boat, my friend. That's why, right? I won't have it any other way. They tried to silence me. And I won't be silent, so I've got a backup account. The backup account, don't go to as many fucking thousands of people that it used to, but I'm going to be back sooner or later. You can't ban me from sharing. Yeah. It wasn't a share. So I didn't find out you could post it. I shared it from somebody else. Now, if I've got a ban for sharing that, then surely the person that posted it should get a ban as well. It's a ban there, mate. Right? So whatever goes on, Jeff, right? Don't worry about it. We're shaking the foundations, my friend. Don't worry about
it. We certainly are.
Yeah, good.
We certainly are, Dave. I was going to say, Dave, we are shaking the foundations. We definitely are. And we keep pointing our fingers like we have done for a long time. And I think they've got getting the message now. We are hearing them waking up from their slumber. They don't want anything to be associated with what we do or what we say. But it seems funny how they all of a sudden start speaking about the things that we've been banging on about for 5 years. It's amazing, isn't it? All of a sudden, out of the blue.
Yeah. See, this is still hidden from what we do, you know. So
it's
I want to involve bearing in mind 2015 to be I've got a word now. 2015. Yeah, get voted in. You know, they're doing all they can do at the moment. So they will tell you what they're going to tell you. And all this shit. That's what they do.
Yeah.
This is 2015. Election time is coming. Election time is
coming.
You
got it. Anyway, no, Dave, I'm going to say goodnight.
Yes,
I'm going to play. I hope you stay and listen to this tune. This is from a good friend of mine, Hold. You know Hold You Awakens. I borrowed it off him a while ago, and it's just one of these tunes that, if you listen to the words, it's what we're all about, Dave.
That's it, mate.
It's called A Ghost of a Chance, and it's by Asia. Hope you enjoy it. Guys, we'll be back again tomorrow night. And or Dave won't, because he's be doing his own show. But
have a link up,
we'll be back.
Link up, Jeff. Have a link up. We'll do something. Scott, we'll link up. We'll do something. Let's incorporate the two shows in.
Yes, sounds good idea, mate.
If we can,
really good idea.
Fucking right and all. All right.
Okay then, buddy. Anyway, Dave, once again, I'll speak to you a bit later, okay? So, from myself and from Dave and from Tommy and from the team, this is myself, Jeff, and Dave. We sign off for the night. This the English defenseman signing off, and we're going to play us out with Ghost of a Chance by Aisha. Good night, guys.
Good night, mate.
Not forgetting, no surrender, ever.
No, ever, ever, ever.
Asia. This is the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Mitchell, signing off for the night. So good night and see you tomorrow night. No surrender, guys, ever. Good night.